I'm trying hard not to derail the start of this podcast like I've done for the last three or four.
You just fucking
did
it.
You just did it by
pulling some fucking stupid face. Did it? Pull a face like, you know, a kid who's done a shit somewhere and you haven't found it yet. That's the face that fucking Q was pulling at me as we started the podcast then, as he was trying not to derail it.
Maybe I have done one out there when I visited and you haven't discovered it yet.
That is possible. That is possible. Yeah, okay. Well, morning. Welcome to Horizon Scan, episode 45. 45? Why is that an important number?
Is your age?
No, I might be completely wrong. No, I'm a year younger than that. Isn't that, is Trump not 45? Is he not the 45th president? I don't know.
Is he?
Maybe. Maybe. Don't know. Get your Google fingers going. Let's find out. I'm going to have to know now. Da-da-da. The guys looks at the internet.
What are you doing? You're Googling it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just because it'll annoy me.
I think you're right.
He is. He's 45, isn't he? Yeah. Donald Trump. Big fucking T-Dog. Funny, isn't it? Right, well. Welcome. I think what we're going to talk about today... Well, are you okay, Hugh? Let's get that out of the way first. How are you?
Fine.
Did you enjoy your big gay bike ride and cigar sesh at the weekend?
It was a little ride out to a local village and had a cigar. It wasn't big and gay. It wasn't an organised thing. Went there and there are other bikers there, hundreds of them. It's a known RV point.
A known RV point, is it?
For bikes. For bikers.
For doggers and fucking rent boys.
There was a distinct lack of women.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, distinct lack of women, but loads of cigars.
There was maybe 100 plus bikes on biker chicks, as in they were actually riding, or pillion. There was maybe six. It was a bit of a cock fest.
Sounds about right. I never went to any of those things when I had a bike, because there's people there, I'd have to talk to them.
Well, we went and sat out of the way on a bench and smoked the cigars and then bugged out.
Yeah. Okay, right, well, what?
No, they were actual cigars.
I've seen a picture of it, yeah.
It wasn't a metaphor.
Well, okay. Fucking three power. We will go back over briefly the police thing from last time we spoke, I think, and general responses to that, because that's fairly interesting. I don't want to take the whole episode on it. And then we'll talk about the recent election and weird things to do with that. So not really weird things, but just where the standard of that election and where it's gone. So what I found really interesting, I don't know what, did you have a look at the responses?
Did I?
The last episode? Yeah, have you seen any of the conversation about it?
I glanced a few times because I'm not on Instagram very much at the minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a guy messaging me on X. Talking about it, asking, originally saw the clip and said, you know, I think you're wrong here. I think you've got some, you know, you don't have enough knowledge about this to have an opinion. He wasn't being a dick, just like kind of what he was saying. And the guy had been, you know, armed police and stuff like that. But I had a good long conversation with him, ended up pretty much in the same place. He's the one that is going to go make sure you get beaten up. If you go in, so he said, maybe you should come and see some training. Now, I have seen some training. He was a CTSFO. I've seen CTSFOs train. I haven't seen standard fucking police train. But he was also a sniper at some point. So I thought you two could have a little cockfest, little cock touching sesh, talking about windage and stuff.
Marksman, is he saying sniper only actually means marksman?
Probably, yes, but he did say sniper. He did say sniper, yeah. So yeah, that's how you can have this conversation. You can start that conversation
He'll be listening to this. If that's what they call them, I will accept that terminology.
You don't have to.
If that's what the force calls that role, sniper, yeah. I'll accept that.
Okay. We internally deride it though.
I'm raging inside right now. There's a friend telling me.
Oh, yeah. You are actually the of the snipers that I know, you are one of the least weird ones.
You are not a no person to call people weird or maybe not. Judge people's weirdness. So well, you're probably quite okay. Skewed.
Yeah, maybe. But most of the snipers I know are fucking oddballs. So, but yeah, he had a good conversation with him. He said, you know, it'd be great to get you to come down. I don't think he's serving anymore, but he obviously has some contacts. He said, it'd be great to get you to come down and actually watch some training, maybe take part in some stuff.
At the very least, I'd love to see it. You know, even if we hadn't had this conversation that brought about that conversation between you and him, I'd love to go and see it. You know,
yeah.
If it surpasses my expectations, it's nice to get a view on quality training of our police forces.
Yeah, well, I had a few people come back and say that the training has certainly improved. But the one thing that stood out to me was differences of opinion based on people's career prior to joining.
Okay.
So, and this, if you are, so the two opinions were people who hadn't been in the military
thought
that everything was like okay, like the training was a sufficient standard and they dealt with everything okay. And people who were in the military previously and then went over to the police thought training wasn't good enough and they don't deal with things as well as they could, and there's better ways of doing things. Which is really interesting. Now, you can look it up from both sides. So the people who haven't been military prior might look at it and go, yeah, you guys are fucking military people who are pain in the arse. They just try and, you know, do things wrong and get in the way, and their previous experience clouds their judgments. It's a valid, you know, that might be correct. But there's definitely 100% from all the responses. Now, probably spoke to 50 people with various comments and little threads. Yeah, definitely. If you were in the military previously, you have an issue with the people who are recruited now, issue with it. But you think there could be better recruiting and you think there could be better training, which is very interesting, I think. And I'm not sure that's surprising. Because based on just me and you as an example, I'm looking at things and going, well, I think maybe something's wrong there. But these people have actually done the job. So it's not knobheads like us who are just on the sidelines going,
yeah,
that looks like you should be doing this. Or that might have been better. Yeah. 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 He also, I think it was that guy, explained that there was a reason why, when you were saying, once that sword turd had been tasered, there was a reason why they didn't go in. And he didn't say what the reason was. Yeah. Because looking at that video, it doesn't look like they're going, this is why we're not going in, if you know what I mean. It looked like everyone was a little bit wary of going in, nervous about going in, maybe.
No, but if there is a reason they're not going in, you wouldn't necessarily see that visually. And they wouldn't necessarily communicate it if it's inherently known by everyone that, okay, after this happens, okay, suspect down. The next stage is to wait for X, Y, Z before we do anything.
Maybe I was just going with body language.
I believe, but I wonder what that could be then.
Maybe we should ask him. Yeah, because it was body language that made me think that they looked like they were just sort of dithering, if you know what I mean. But obviously, these are all bad words I'm using. I'm just, you know, pulling it out of my arse.
Yeah, one thing though, thinking about that, I think we should be careful on us judging the body language of the police when we're not served. And there are probably little,
cool.
You know, like we've probably got a more sensitive radar for picking up what would be to other people imperceptible body language signals from soldiers, you know, in a frontline situation that other people may not. Maybe the same situation with police. You know,
yeah,
police,
I'd expect the police to be better at that. I would expect the police to be better with body language and stuff like that than we are.
Well, I'm saying, as viewing a video of police officers, we may not be able to read it as well as a police officer viewing it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because a police officer viewing it can see these little intricate, like, details in body language. Oh, okay. By her hand moving there and the way his, you know, body's turned, they be able to tell why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe. I don't know. I
think you're probably right. But anyway, the upshot of that is there is definitely a range of opinion on it. Not everybody. There was only one guy who was a bellend who told me to, but said, "I don't know what I'm talking about. I should stop watching TikTok videos." I was like, "What?" Yeah, he obviously thinks I've been watching fucking auditor videos.
It's a touchy subject, mate. People get pissed.
I know, but just don't be a fucking child. Like, you're an adult.
I know. You look at it from the lens, through the lens that they got the suspect. They got him down and they arrested him, and then you got me and you critiquing the
thing is, I don't think we were critiquing, really. I think it was just, but I think the public are, and this is what people are, maybe.
We were critiquing.
But one of the points I was trying to make is you can't be touchy. Like, everybody knows, like, the public are the people being served by it. And actually, I don't want to take the whole fucking episode up by this again, but the public and the people are being served. So if the public look at something and they don't think they're getting the results that they should have, if the public think there's an issue, then you kind of have to look at it. And you can't be touchy about getting little bits of people just asking questions, going, "Well, why did that happen?" You can't be touchy about that. If you want to get better, you have to address these things. If you want good relations with the people that you're serving, you have to address these things without getting fucking childish about it. Like, everybody else I spoke to was fucking polite and cool. You know what I mean? Which is fine. Neither me or you have an issue being told if we're talking shit, because we've spent most of our life with that happening. It happens more often than not. So no one has an issue with it. Just be cool about it and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And the fact that the public are interested enough in what's happening to go, "Well, are you being let down with your training? Is there an equipment issue? Should you have better equipment?" Like, if public are paying attention and asking those questions, it's because they care about you and they care about your ability to protect them. So fucking, you know, put your big boy pants on and just listen.
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone else was cool. Just one fucking weasel. So, the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, it's not a general election. It's, it was the London election, wasn't it, of the mayor. And was it at various other elections around the country?
It was mayors all over the country.
It
was mayors. I think it was mayors all over the country. It was mayors. It was PCCs, and it was your local MP, wasn't it?
Okay. Well, let's dodge the PCC thing for the moment, because it's police heavy, isn't it? Even though I think I will say that almost every comment that brought them up thought they should be abolished. And what the fuck are they doing?
I've never heard a good thing about the PCC. Bro, yeah. Never, ever.
Yeah, seems like a bad idea. So is that? Yeah. So. Sadiq's back in. No great surprise. There was a period during the count where it was going around.
I was surprised.
Yeah, it seemed odd. It seemed odd. Yeah. And I don't know what the score was. I don't know why you would do that.
I wouldn't say it seems odd. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I was surprised by it, but the voter turnout in London for that election was 40%, right? He got 1,088,000 votes, something like that. And then everyone else, so if you combine all of the other parties, the votes together, it was something like 1.1 million. So you look at it through the lens of, okay, 1.1 billion people who voted didn't want Khan. But you could swing that perspective on any election ever that's ever happened, right? And go, okay, Labour got that many votes, because they got that many votes, they won the election, but there's so many votes for all the other people, they didn't want them. It shouldn't happen. But so 40% turnout, which is fucking quite high, I think.
And that's madness that's high, isn't it?
I think
thought there were misses about it.
It's quite high.
I don't know, you'd have to look historically what they're like in London for the turnout, but like, I know around the country there was places with turnouts of like 29%.
Oh, and below, mate. And
oh yeah.
And way down.
Yeah.
There was I'm sure there were councils who had a turnout of something like 5%. I'm sure there were.
Mad. Fucking mad. Well, what I mean, I don't know. You don't live in London, but you spend a lot of time in London.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think that I can't see living in London getting it any easier. I can only see it getting harder. So we're looking at purely based on practicalities and cost, and those two are intertwined, I think, for your Joe Bloggs, who lives and works in London. I think, particularly if you have to commute a distance or you need a vehicle or you have a vehicle because you've got a family and you need it, well, I don't know. That's just on the ULEZ side, right? I think it's going to get harder to live there and work there. And I think that in turn is going to, I mean, financially, and I think that in turn is going to impact business, which then, you know, leads businesses to be less likely to invest in London, which means London gets worse off, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me to make a judgment, I think, because whenever I see or hear stuff about London and I think, oh, positive or negative, it always involves ULEZ, congestion zone charges, ULEZ, and knife crime. They're the three things, right? And they're negative things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's hard to argue against the fact that violent crime has gone through the fucking roof since he's been in power. Now, was it increasing before he got in power? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is it increasing the same rate it was before he got in power? And actually, it's no different to if it was someone else before him. Mm-hmm. Maybe just the optics of him being in place, not liked, and being a different skin colour and a different religion to what we're normally used to as London mayor. Maybe that has thrown reason for the media and politicians to highlight different parts of factors that go into how you measure the performance of a London mayor than would otherwise have been focused on. I don't know. But it doesn't seem great to be in London, right? If you're Joe Bloggs commuting in and out, right, and not living, eating, breathing it every day, I think it seems all right. Now, I should really have a conversation with some people who live there. I mean, I know loads of people live there, like you do, and I know loads of people live in London, and see what they think. And try. I will do that, actually. I will do that. And just from a cross-section of society, you know, I know people who aren't British who live there. Who live there for a while. I know people who are British who live there. I know people who live there and need a vehicle for work. I know people who live there and don't. I know people who are male, who are female, who are gay, who are not. Yeah. You know, all this. I mean, I think it's worth me over the next few months just having a sort of dive into that. What you reckon? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think so. Because, we don't know.
It definitely doesn't seem safe there, as safe there to be there these days than it was 10, 15 years ago. Go on.
No, I just don't, like, because he seems like he's in there until he decides to sack it. And if he does decide to sack it, he will do so with, like, a fucking Padawan. He'll bring another guy in or chick in and go, this is my replacement. And everyone will vote for them instead. So London seems like, like you were just saying, when I look at it on paper, obviously, like, I don't live there, but there are things that are happening there that I'm like, well, that doesn't seem good. I don't think I'm going to vote for the guy who's in charge of this. So I don't understand why people are voting for him other than weird tribal stuff. And I mean, politically tribal stuff. Like, well, we're definitely not going to vote for Conservative. So we're going to, whoever Labour put up, that's who we're going to vote for. And,
well, this is one of the things about these election results. Well, there we go. The London mayor result is an example of this. It's one of the things about it is that, you know, Labour are claiming it as this fucking immense victory and evidence that they should be in power and all the rest of it. And when you really look at it, you go, it's not. This isn't evidence that Labour is popular. This is evidence that the Conservatives are extremely unpopular.
UK wide.
The majority of those people who have stayed away from Conservatives have also stayed away from Labour. Look at Lib Dems. Lib Dems did mega. They did mega.
And they're dog shit.
Well, I say that. I,
Yeah, but it's like with the general turnout as well. This is what we've been saying about the sort of people just being licked out with politics and a fair amount of apathy. That seems to be the case. People have never been, you know, more disengaged from the whole thing. It seems that way. People are sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are also, I think this is like a something that you could action, but I think people are also sick of having to stay away or void the ballot or do something like that when they don't feel any of the people represent them. You know what I mean? So perhaps if there was some, I don't know, you know, I have not thought this through at all, but perhaps if there was an option to say none of the above or something like that, you might get a better turnout where people would come out and go, no, none of you fuckers. And that sends a better message. And then maybe there could be some, you know, you might have to have something down the line if you get a certain number of people who say none of the above. Because that gives you an option away from the tribal stuff. That would fuck. And obviously, I don't give a shit about any of them. But that would fuck Labour. Because people at the moment want the Conservatives to die. I mean, there is a big movement for fucking zero votes for the Conservatives. Like, there's lots of people within the Conservative or who were previously Conservative Party or would see themselves right-leaning and would vote Conservative who are so angry with what they've done or haven't done over the past 15 years or whatever, 14, 15 years. They literally want to make sure they get zero votes. That's a victory for them now, because they get zero seats. Like, just destroy them as a party.
Yeah.
And people are willing to take 4 years of Labour, 5 years of Labour or whatever, in order to do that. It's madness. So tell me what I did see. Did you see there's a what was his fucking name? I'm terrible with names. But yeah, there was a Conservative MP who said that basically saying that the Conservatives need to come more into the centre ground. And every fucking idiot Tory MP like retweeted him like that was a good thing. Like, if you think, and it basically he pulled out the far right thing and just said that, you know, we need to stay away from these right wing policies because the far right is rising. And I think lots of people just look at it and go, I certainly did. I went, do you think that's a good idea? Like, do you realize how far left you are generally as a party? There's virtually nothing right wing about your party anymore. Like, at the best, you are central. You are not an alternative. You are basically just the same as all the other stuff on the left. Yeah, if the furthest right you want to go is the centre, then you're not representative of all the people who find themselves who are on the right. And you deserve as a party to fucking die. Like, they're so, like, they're just wrong. They've got it's quite funny. It's everything that DC has said about them is true.
What do you mean?
Well, exactly this. That they live in a bubble. They don't understand what happens outside of their bubble.
Oh.
All they care about is the media. And what they need to say in the papers the next day. They have no vision. They have no real idea about what they want to do. Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs. Well, you have to accept. Well, maybe you don't. Of course, you don't have to accept it. But I feel like there are people who are on the right. They are underrepresented. And if you completely ignore them, you will start to see the parts of the right. Just as we see when things get mental, you see the part of the left that you don't like. You will see the part of the right that you don't like. So when they talk about the fucking far right rising or whatever, eventually, if you keep doing this and don't talk to the reasonable people on the right, that will happen. It will happen. And that... The cynical part of me says that's exactly what they want to happen, because then you can clamp down on that because they're the nutbags. Like, there's nothing wrong. I had this conversation with my missus a while ago. I'm a brother. They're both very left-leaning. And they had both said to me that you are way more right wing, you know what I mean? But your thoughts are way more right than they used to be. I was like, well, yeah, they are. But the way they talk about it was like I'd been diseased by something, like I'd been taken over by some fucking mind virus type thing. I said, well, no. Thought on the right, a thought on the left. They're both in completely fucking legitimate views. Both parts of that have their extreme bit, so they're a bit fucking mad. But just to say that you are on the right of the political spectrum, that doesn't make you evil. It doesn't make you a fucking monster. It just makes you think differently to the people on the left. It's like it's being used as an insult. And it shouldn't be used as an insult because it's legitimate thought. I think there's a lot of people who feel like that.
Well, the same happens the other way, though.
Of course it does, yeah.
You know, like you can describe someone as progressive, and that can be, you can use that as an insult. You can use it as not. Like when I want to use that word progressive in a positive way, I always have to try and literally in a conversation, I always think, I'm like, does it sound like I'm using that in a negative way? And I have to try and validate what I'm saying. When I say progressive, I mean, you know, positive movement forward. But there's also the other progressives we know about. You know, that lot. The negative ones. The far left. You know, if you want to call them that. Or not even that, because I hate even doing that. Well, it's one of the things that when we did the political spectrum exercise, you, me, and a bunch of other people who behind it from the listeners and stuff today. One of the things that reinforced to me is that no one is, you can't box people into far left or far right. There may be elements that indicate they have some parts of their beliefs that would go into that far right or far left, could fall into that far left or far right box. But then there's a shitload of other aspects of their beliefs and opinions that stick them all over the graph. Left, right, libertarian, authoritarian, you know, it's really interesting. So when you're talking about far right there, so it's almost like I wish the term didn't exist. And far left, it's just, because that tribalism, it just boxes people into, as we've talked about before, that tribal thinking. It boxes them into thinking they only have one op. There's only one thing they should vote for because that's what their tribe wants them to vote for and what they should vote for. And that is, I feel these things and this is my group, so I have to vote Labour. No, don't. Yeah. I feel these things, so I have to vote Conservative. No, I don't.
It's also like, you made a good point on the X of the day about how these things are, what's connected, how these things are weaponized. Derogatory terms are weaponized against policies. So, for example, if you listen to rhetoric that comes from, particularly from Labour MPs, obviously, and Conservative people do as well the other way, but like, if you made a point about talking about policies, like lowering immigration, that type of thing. To some, that makes you a fucking racist far-right nutbag. Some fucking idiots. But that's a completely reasonable thing to think about. If you're concerned with the state of the country, and you go, okay, let's have a look at this. What is the impact of this? Okay, that doesn't seem like a good idea to me. I would like to vote for people who will do something about the levels of immigration. That's completely reasonable. It's fucking practical. It's not connected to anything, or it doesn't have to be. Obviously, with some people it is. It doesn't have to be connected to anything but the financial and social well-being of the country. But you will be tarred as maybe far right. And even fucking thingies are doing this now. Even some Conservative MPs are doing this now. You'll be tarred as far right for wanting to talk about that and having that as your main issue. That is the thing that I most care about. And that's how they stop you talking about it.
Exactly. That is done to stop the conversation. I'll give
that's
you I give you an exact example of this in a response to that tweet I did. Right?
Okay.
Okay, so the tweet I did was arguing against terrible immigration policies and woeful illegal immigration countermeasures is not anti-immigration, nor is it racist. That's all I said. Yeah. One of the replies was, what woeful illegal immigration countermeasures do you mean? Well, he's missing the point of the fucking tweet. It's not a tweet to specifically discuss our policies. I'm making the point that, like you just said, you've got to talk about these things and you get tarred as racist or fucking anti-immigration. And then he also said some other stuff on the fucking policy, and then asked me if we have a large illegal immigration problem. But my point is, he's deliberately missing the complete point of the tweet and trying to get me to engage in a conversation about specific policy stuff. No, I'm not saying that. It's not. This isn't about our policies. This is about getting tarred with a racist brush when you question something on immigration.
Yeah.
You know. But again, he's doing that. It's not even a conscious reason he's doing that. It is a subconscious action that he do to derail. It's like a conditioning of that ideology.
Yeah.
Conditioned to, okay, pull him away to something we can engage him in on feelings, basically, because you go down if I go down that discussion route with him, it'll be, what, so you say we shouldn't have any foreign people in the country? That's where it gets to. You go, I'm not fucking not saying that. You know exactly where it goes. You know.
Yeah, you're just dealing with non-serious people. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that we are serious because we deliberately set ourselves up as being kind of not serious, but people who are incapable of going, okay, this is a potentially serious conversation here. We should have a serious conversation and not throw stones, not call people this, not call people that, not judge people's motivations. We should go, okay, well, let's actually have a look at this.
I don't think they're not capable. I think they're being dragged out of the normal condition and habit of being capable to engage on a discussion point. They've been dragged out of that into this thing where, okay, let's deviate slightly from the discussion point to this other route that we know we can end up in a circular argument, shouty match, and talk about feelings and inherent human rights and all this stuff, which doesn't actually talk about the point that's being made in the statement that brought this whole fucking discussion about.
Yeah.
What is what every single politician on the left, Labour politician, does repeatedly, constantly. Yeah. To avoid actually discussing the actual difficult topics that need.
But I find they do this as well. Like this is why I'm so licked out with both of them, because I think this is what Conservatives have started doing. They basically, because Labour MPs have been doing it for so long, they're particularly online, and more of them are speaking online on places like X and stuff like that. They're doing the same thing. It's like name calling. It's like schoolyard stuff. It's not like actually talking seriously about it. It's the state of like politics today, and it's one of the reasons why people couldn't give a fuck. Well, wouldn't this be a good idea to be able to engage with these people in an open forum and whatever? That kind of sounds okay, but if you're going to do that, then they actually have to engage. Like fucking, their title means that their title suggests they should. Or you would want them to, like an adult, not name calling, not trying to fucking get little shitty gotchas, actually talk to people properly. But they don't do that.
They just say they did. Yeah, you're right. That Conservative's doing it as well. You know, it's look at Liz Truss. In those, do you remember the one sticks in my mind? I was trying to get some of the sound bites from there to remind myself of exactly what she was saying. She'd been doing a bunch of interviews in America, wasn't she, to promote a book?
Yeah.
And you're like, fucking hell. In fact, I remember talking to you about this and thinking, fucking hell, she's taking a different line on this. This is interesting because she was talking about, what was she talking about?
She was talking to her audience.
Yeah, exactly. She was talking about, basically what you say, she was alluding to, you know, the world is being controlled by powers that aren't really in the interest of the electorate, and it's not really democracy. It's all this, you know, the, in inverted commas, conspiracy theory stuff.
Yes.
She was talking about that openly on an interview, and I think, fuck, this is a big change. And I was thinking, no, she's just talking, she's saying the thing she thinks people want to hear and will get more people interested in that. Because she can't say the stuff that the left are interested in, because that's not what she says. It's the right. Oh, let's say the things that will get me get me interest and attention and book sales. But she's also still a politician, you know. So she wouldn't have done that. It'll be a calculated thing. It's not flippantly like done it off the cuff.
No, 100%. Well, she was trying to set herself up for
exactly
in the US. Fucking irritating. These fuckers.
It is. We need to get. But part of the way to get out of this, guys, like as you alluded to, we need to get away from this tribal voting. Like you need to step away from I'm red or I'm fucking blue. You need to get out of that box. And when you look out, when this general election gets called, you need to go and you actually need to think about, look at who, we'll look at the policies and the manner and what your local party member's proposing and have an objective view of it. You may find that you don't want to vote, that the thing your Labour candidate is saying or standing for, you don't like. You may also find the same with Conservatives, right? So you may vote with someone else, but for fuck's sake, go and actually pay attention to what you're voting for. Don't just put the tick in the box next to the red or the blue candidate because that's what you think you should do. Have an opinion, read into it, make a fucking informed decision on what you're voting for. And that's the only way. And yeah, you know, I think that's the only way at the minute. You have the potential to see any shift in anything. And even if you end up ticking a box and it's not the party that wins, those results, if it's a more informed, honest opinion across the board and more people are voting with their minds as opposed to their feelings, if you want to put it that way, then that result will inform whoever does get in power. And think, fucking hell, okay, we got in, but it was closer than what we thought. Why were so many people voting for an X, Y, Z thing? What is that?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like
hang on, people are paying attention. There was a higher voter turnout. Why is that? There was a higher voter turnout, but we didn't get that landslide we thought. We only just marginally scraped the win. Why is that? Well, people are voting their minds, and more people are paying attention.
That's it. You've got to when you're actually voting about something. You've exactly like you say, move away from the football team mentality. Like you, and you also, when you vote, you shouldn't be trying to win. That's not the idea is. Obviously, let me continue. You want to win, but when you're going in and you're looking at the people who are there and their policies and the things that they're going to try and put in, and you're thinking about it, certainly, you know, locally, let's just start with locally. That's what you should be thinking about. Which of these people represents what I would like to happen? And it shouldn't really matter what party they're in. Like you may find, obviously, that there's a pattern to that, and you know certain parties won't represent you very well. But you shouldn't be trying to win. You should just be going, this is what I think. This person's going to do what I want. They get my vote. And if they all end up on one side and that party wins, then that's fine. But we don't. We go, yeah, we you see all sorts of fucking, who does he doing this? I think it was Carrie Vorderman, that twat.
Who?
Vorderman. Vordermong.
I'm interviewing a personal trainer today.
I know. Yeah. Fucking lizard. Absolute lizard.
He's not a twat. Nor do I have an opinion on Vorders.
Right. I do. I think she's fucking.
Not for like 24 hours, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, she's talking about tactical voting. She's been like publicly talking about tactical voting and, you know, you need to vote for this in order to keep this party out. And that should be illegal. I'm not sure if it is, but it should be illegal.
It is astounding, right, that someone with her...
She can do maths. That's it. She can... That's not the way to think about it.
Just
she can just do maths. Just let She's still me. Solid.
Just let me, right? Someone with her intelligence, undeniable intelligence, right?
No, maths.
Intelligence.
She can do maths.
Yeah, intelligence. She can do maths. I'm
but
pretty
she can
sure
do maths.
Only she can do, right?
She can do maths. Everything else she says is fucking stupid.
She can not realise just how poorly he's able to assess the political situation and then act. Not act. But yeah, act the way she does. Because she's a voice with an audience, you know. And not be objective about her assessment of everything. It's just mental. Mental. Just another. It's that. I'm going to say ideological left behaviour. It is present on the right. It is present on the right, but it's more obvious on the left.
But to me, the inability to do that just shows that you're solid.
Well, it's solid or I don't want to say brainwashed. It's solid or you're conditioned into the behaviour of the rest of your pack. That's how they communicate, guys. She's communicating no differently to a student in that Columbia University.
Exactly. Solid. That's solid. If you are that weak and able to, you need to be in that fucking pack, and you need to be saying the same thing as everybody else. If you need to do that, you're fucking solid.
That's not solid.
It is. You're fucking stupid.
There'd be different reasons why you're doing that. You can't say everyone who does it is solid. Different reasons of people doing that. And there are people who have done that, and then all of a sudden they come back to they go, I would be mental then. Why was I doing that? And they're more in the middle ground. They behave more rationally and can engage in discussion. What, are they unsolid themselves? It's not. They're the same they were before.
What I'm saying is, it has changed.
If you live in an environment where all of the information you're getting in is all biased in one way, and all the information you're allowing into yourself is biased in one way, you're going to end up thinking that way. How did Nazi Germany happen? It wasn't a nation of solid people.
I thought we said we weren't going to talk about Nazi Germany.
But on the point, Nazi Germany, how did that happen? It wasn't a nation of solid people. It wasn't. It was a nation of people who conditioned into thinking a certain way and allowing something to happen. Is how it was. Was Nazi Germany? Were they all solid? Okay.
All right. What I mean by solid? Like, obviously, not necessarily fucking thick. But if you find yourself falling into that. And everyone, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, to normal people who are well-meaning. Obviously, there's lots of people who do it because they go, okay, this is the way the wind's blowing. That's the way I'm going to go because I don't really give a fuck. But, my career is attached to it or something like that. So that's why I'm going to go that way. But the people who aren't doing it in that sort of cynical way, if you find yourself doing that, I think you're fucking solid. Your brain is not working properly because you're a very weak character, and I don't know.
I'll agree with that. Your brain's not working properly, and your character at that time is weak, I would say. Yeah. Right? Doesn't mean bad person. It means person who isn't very well.
doesn't necessarily mean
bad person.
You shouldn't find yourself like parroting talking points without thinking through it.
It does mean bad person. If you are someone who is intelligent, you know exactly what the situation is, and you are taking advantage of people who are compromised like that.
You're saying Vorderman's a turd, is what you're saying, because that's who you just described.
No, Vorderman is one of the compromised.
Let's not forget that she sold a load of fucking, she helped sell a load of dodgy financial products to people who got fucked.
Did she?
Yes. Yes. This is not a fucking. I know. And previously hung around with the Conservative Party. Like, she is not a good person. She is a turd.
I don't know about that detail. I'm going to have to remain neutral on her.
Yeah, you might remain neutral until fucking tomorrow morning, and then we'll talk about it. right. Got 15 minutes ish left. Did we find. Oh, well, we probably need to do talk about this because I think it's important. You will have seen it because you sent it to me. I'm going to be absolutely straight about this because there's no point not being absolutely straight about it. Okay. If you think that there are not people within the UK who are Muslims, who would quite like a version of the UK that is not like it is now and is more geared towards their religion. If you think that isn't the case, you're an idiot. Dead simple. And you only have to look at some of the results we saw. And one result specifically, it's gone kind of viral. It's been everywhere of that fucking Green Party mong giving it Allahu Akbar. There are people who are very clever, and they're using your naivety against you. And this is not. I would feel exactly the same if it was a not bad Christian. Exactly the same. Who was interested in bringing in policies, religious policies to the UK that I'm not down with. Obviously, I don't live here anymore, so it's, you know. But I do not think you should have somebody who is that fucking religious and openly religious and only really concerned with that side of their belief system in politics. But they're allowed to because it's a democratic system. You can vote for who you want. However, you just need to be aware that there are definitely people who are using the democratic system of the UK against us, or us, against what you would probably consider the norm in the UK now. And they will do anything in order to advance those aims, including joining the fucking Green Party. Yeah. And then talking in your victory speech, just fucking giving it fucking Allahu Akbar. Like, just open your eyes a bit. Because these people aren't stupid. They know that fucking they can use the system against them to get influence and power. Even if it's at a local level, but it only needs to happen for a few times to for you to start to see sway. These people are playing a very different game than you are. And if you don't kind of open your eyes and stop being naive and go, no, he's a Green Party guy. He cares about the environment. Like, I don't think he does. I think he's laughing at you. I think he's laughing at you. You're a fucking idiot. And obviously, the Green Party let that guy in there and went, oh, he's okay. I just think it's a bad idea. I'm not a Muslim. And the shitty ends of Muslim stuff, Sharia law, stuff like that, I don't think that's a good idea in the UK. Not to live anymore. I don't think that's a good idea. It's a good idea anyway, anywhere.
No, this is the problem with, again, this is kind of a problem with the, not problem. It's one of the more important reasons you need to get an increased voter turnout. And I'm not, if it was, who are you talking about, the Muslim community in the UK, yeah? It could be another community, right? It could be fucking the English Defence League or whatever, their groups. It could be, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. If they're able to organise and en masse get people to... they're all organising, get a higher voter turnout for whatever they are, their beliefs, their creed, whatever, right? Then they are... It results in a not a balanced result in the election process because you've got a... It's a balanced day. You've got a shitload of, from one aspect of the British public, the society, going out to vote, and you've got a diminished... number percentage of vote turnout for everyone else. So what you end up with is a power imbalance, an interest imbalance of people in power. Yeah, your point there. But you're suggesting there, right? And it's quite likely. You're suggesting there that this guy got in.
I know what that looked like. The fucking my camera went out of focus. Yeah. So I was trying to get back
listening. Baz just raised his hand to the camera. And I thought he's either telling me to stop talking what I'm talking about, which would be highly unusual.
No,
or
not.
He's just done a salute of sorts.
Well, I was waving at my camera trying to get it to go back in focus. Carry on.
That stopped my tracks. That right.
That's funny.
Yeah, God, I can't remember where I was.
I can.
Oh yeah, suggesting that the man, that example, who became the candidate for the Green Party, then won. He's the mayor, right?
I don't know if he's the mayor or not.
Oh, was it him?
Yeah.
And he's Muslim.
Councillor, I don't know.
Got in there, so he's suggesting that was basically calculated by him, his people, and they got a higher turnout from the Muslim community in that area to go and cast the votes to ensure that he gets it. It's not like you're saying, it's not hard to do. That community, like the Muslim community, they're very connected. Their social circles are very close. They got real strong family bonds, real strong religious bonds. Like admirable stuff in that regard. Admirable stuff. But it also means that if they want to make a fucking change and are driven to make a change and have the capacity to do it, they can organize pretty well to go and do it, which is what they've been seeing. Now, so there was a big increase in the success of candidates and parties, not parties, candidates who are Muslim in the elections, wasn't there? Big change.
I do need to caveat this over there because I have on many occasions on this podcast I've talked about democracy and people getting who, you know, they vote for and who they deserve and whatever. Now, the guys who've won these in these places, they're not doing anything wrong. They live in the country.
Yeah.
They're voting in an election in the country. Nothing is wrong there. You know, the communities that they live in very likely are predominantly Muslim based. So they are being representative of their people. That's what they're doing. That's fine. However, there is an influence there once they get into power. If you don't want that influence, if you perhaps don't agree with some of the things that they believe, you have to do something about that. You have to fucking go out and vote and get people who are closer maybe to the things that you believe in. If you give up on that system, people will jump in and use the system. It's not even using the system against you. You will just get a result that you don't like because you haven't bothered your ass to vote. And maybe you think it's actually be a good idea for more and more political leaders to be of one faith. And like I say, I don't. If you are, I think the same about Christianity. I'm not religious. But I feel like you probably, if you are someone who is from the UK, you probably don't want the majority of your, and obviously this is not now, but you probably don't want the majority of your political leaders currently to be of one faith. It seems like a bad idea because they might have more loyalty to their faith than they have to anything else. And that's not what they're there for. They're there to look after the country, not their faith.
Yeah, it wasn't a mayor. It was a Green Party member elected to the lead city council.
Yeah, so councillors. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's just about democracy will work, and you will get who people vote for.
Democracy works best when loads of people are paying attention and voting. And for years, it's always the same every time there's election. Low voter turnout. If you want to make a change, go out and vote. It's like it's more critical now than ever. It's more. There's so many things at play that could really fuck over the UK.
Yeah,
so you've got fucking over the UK.
If you have part of the electorate who think one way, and you've got part of the electorate who think a load of other ways, but the only people who actually give a fuck anymore are these guys over here. These guys are going to get an awful lot more influence. Like I say, if that's what you want, fucking crack on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's a good idea. We're near the end of the episode now, so most people will have turned off after 10 minutes, so we won't even get in. But out of interest, speaking about political influence for fun, we do actually have now a councillor. Remember, so we are... Cities Guild.
Green Party in Leeds.
Yeah, so Cities Guild has now started its long march to become a budget World Economic Forum. So we now have our first councillor in a local council. So there you go.
It's the WEP, the World Economic Forum. That's what you can call it.
That's rubbish.
All right. Anyway, congratulations to your man.
Yeah, yeah. But it's I'm joking about it, but it is a serious point. Yeah, this is somebody from our kind of background, somebody who, as a service person, goes out and fucking, you know, understands what it's like to be in public every day and, you know, has stepped forward and done things. This is somebody who got so licked out with how things were going in his local area They said, fucking hell, like all sensible people do, fuck's sake, I'm going to have to do something about this. And as one, as his career ended in one, the career he had at the time ended, he said, right, I'm gonna run for my local council. And he was elected. So he now sits on this council and he can make change. He can question why things are going wrong there. And as much as, like I said, nobody wants to do it. There's another guy in the US. There's a guy, US Marine guy, really good dude, got connection with the Reg. Yeah, he had to run, I think it was like his local school council type thing, but he saw it going wrong, and he went, fuck, I'm going to have to go and try and do something about this. And he stepped forward, and he went and did it. And none of us want to do it. None of us want to be fucking politicians. No, nobody wants to be a fucking elected representative. We all, after our, what tend to be fairly punchy careers, want to just relax and just fucking boats and hose it for the rest of our time. Maybe smoke cigars with fucking bum boys like you. But
I wonder, you should ping him a question, actually, see if he fancies a HR interview. Be interesting to hear what and why he's done what he's done and where he's at.
Or the US dude.
Your dude.
He's not my dude. He's a guy who's bought some seg stuff and, you know, chats to us.
Definitely not a cult.
It's not a cult. Yeah. If you can ask him yourself, you're in that group with him.
Yeah.
Ask him yourself. But I suspect he may not do that. But certainly so early on in his career. But yeah, people stepping forward, even though they don't want to, stepping forward and trying to do things about stuff that's going wrong. Is what it is. That's the community. Right. That's a positive thing, isn't it? That was the positive thing we could speak about. We need a positive thing to talk about, and that's it. Yeah. We are now in politics.
You can't say his name, can you? We can give him a code name. Should we give him a code name?
No, I think we should screw enough of him and just stay away from it completely. I've only flagged it for this point just to say, to make the point of people stepping forward and doing something about it. Obviously, make a joke about it. Yeah, I think it's he should guide completely anything we speak about within this. I've warned him off this morning that we're going to talk about this.
Okay.
What's coming up? So I think what's coming up over the next week or so
Al Jazeera may be vacating some premises.
Oh yeah, go on, talk about that.
If they've not already.
Talk about that.
In Israel.
Yeah.
Fuck it, no.
Yeah, well, do you want to talk about it or not? We've got fucking two things.
Israel have booted Al Jazeera out of the country because they say they're a threat to national security.
Are they Al Jazeera Qatari? Is that correct? Are they Qatari?
It's Egyptian, are they not?
Are they Egyptian?
I think so.
Okay, let's have a
look. Al Jazeera, Wikipedia. Let's go to Wikipedia for the jam.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's okay. Headquartered in Qatar. Al Jazeera is a private media conglomerate headquartered at Wadi Al Sail, Doha, funded in part by the government of Qatar.
Yeah, and obviously I think that's where, are they still there? Hamas's leaders are in Qatar?
Are they, who's still there? Where, what?
The leaders of Hamas.
Oh, I don't know.
So that is probably the excuse that Israel has used to make that happen. I would have thought.
They're not. Are they in Qatar, are they?
I think they've been in Qatar for fucking ever. Sorry, Qatar, if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right.
Yeah. The group divides its leadership between those in Gaza and those in exile abroad, mostly in Qatar, but also in Lebanon and Turkey.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's obviously why Israel will have done it. They've gone, right, well, yeah, these people potentially are not on our side here. So we're going to kick him out.
Yeah. Right. I can, playing devil's advocate, I can see this. Well, I can see a reason why.
Yeah.
The press arguably have more freedom than anyone else in that country, countries, Israel and Palestine. I recognize Palestine, right? Just saying. Does that make me? Does that make me far left? In someone's eyes. Someone's eyes somewhere.
It makes you a real interesting situation.
Why?
That's what it makes you. Because this whole thing's the whole thing is interesting.
All right. So press can travel anywhere, arguably, or more places than what CivPop can and soldiers can out there, right? Like, for example, a Hamas fighter would find it hard to go and cut about in Israel, on the Israel side of the fence, and vice versa. Al Jazeera, however, can cut about everywhere. They probably get some eyes on some cool stuff in Israel that Hamas can't. Like, defences, you know, numbers of troops, weapon systems, not really, but numbers of troops, defences, displacements, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool because Al Jazeera are headquartered in Qatar, where a lot of the Hamas leadership are. I can see this from the Israeli side. Like, let's get rid of these motherfuckers. I can see it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
If they've done it for that reason.
Well, who knows?
They could have done it because they don't like things that...
Israel does things for Israel's reasons. That's Israel.
Yeah.
Israel doesn't do anything. I think this is a completely fair comment. I don't think Israel does anything that isn't in the interest of Israel.
Yeah.
You know, and you can argue that that's because of their unique situation. But yeah.
Right. What did Netanyahu say here?
I thought you were going to talk about what we spoke about earlier about what he said yesterday. We literally Googled it, the Gentiles thing.
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Right. Well, just quickly on the Israel ordered the local offices of Qatar's Al Jazeera satellite news network to close on Sunday. Yada 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 yada. The extraordinary order, which includes confiscating broadcast equipment, preventing the broadcast of this channel's reports, and blocking its websites, is believed to be the first time Israel has ever shuttered a foreign news outlet operating in the country. Where's the reason? Al Jazeera reporters harmed Israel's security and incited against soldiers, Netanyahu said in a statement. It's time to remove the Hamas mouthpiece from our country.
There you go.
It's highly likely that Al Jazeera have an editorial line. I reckon I can guess what that is.
Well, so do all media. So do all certainly mainstream media. You know?
Yeah. And then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, what you were talking about, Netanyahu. Netanyahu saying that can't trust Gentiles. But in the context that can't trust, basically, I think he's saying you can't 100% rely on the fact that Gentiles, non-Jews, we use the word Gentiles, non-Jews will continue to support Israel in their fight. So basically, it's one of those, like, we need to bear that in mind.
We're on our own. We can only look after ourselves. That's basically what you're saying. We can't trust any of these other fuckers.
I wonder how it would go down if a politician in the UK or America said, we can't trust Jews.
Yeah, not well. Not well.
It would go down well. But you can say it the other way. You can say non-Jews.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't see anything wrong with it. He's just referring to people who aren't Jew, isn't he? But if you did it the other way and referred to people who are Jew, it'd be like, whoa, you can't do that. It's racist. No, I'm just referring to a collective.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not allowed to do that, though.
When you do it in a negative way is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know.
All white people are great. That's fine to say. All white people are bad. All white people are bad. That's also fine to say, actually. But in some circles, it's not fine to say.
Okay.
Replace that colour with any other colour you want. Problem. As soon as you go negative.
There you go. Fucking hell. There is an episode we could have that could go fucking wild talking about this stuff.
It could go wild. It's crazy.
It would be fucking wild. I don't think people are ready for that conversation.
You could do it Ricky Gervais style and say, okay, these are things you're not allowed to say. You definitely shouldn't say them. Here's an example. And then say all the things you're not allowed to say.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Don't think so. I don't see any. Oh, yes, actually. I was going to say, I don't see any point in plugging the whole fucking subscription thing and the WhatsApp group and all that stuff, but this goes out to everybody, all the free people.
Do it.
So, for a few quid a month, price of a fucking posh coffee, the Substack, you are obviously, if you're watching this, you may have paid already, you're back on the free Substack. It's quite a nice little group growing of people who pay the subscription, and as part of that, they're in a WhatsApp group together. So they bounce ideas off each other. Nice little bit of networking happening there, and can bounce ideas about what we should talk about here. Tell us we're talking shit, all that type of thing. Now it's obviously been going for about a week or so, so it's very early days, but I think it's worthwhile because everyone's very sensible, and it's, as I say, you know, quite often, not really safety in numbers, but it's always good to know that there's other people who think similar to you. And I don't mean that in any sort of like group think way. I mean, as in like, you go, fucking hell, I think that's a bad idea. What's going on with that? And there's other people who go, no, you're not mad. I think that as well. And this police, the conversations we've had, the insights we've had about, certainly about the police stuff in there, because there's, you know, there's serving and ex-police people in there. It's been really interesting. Are you just not going to get that? So I think it's worth doing. You also get any written pieces that I do, which I'm going to try and do one this week. I was a bit fucking flat out last week. But yeah, try and do one this week. And you can also suggest other things to go on the subscription. So it'd be nice if we got this for our money as well. Yeah. All it does, it's not ninja. It just supports. It basically pays the time to come and do this. Obviously, Hugh doesn't get anything because one day he might. But, you know, it pays effectively for the administration of this whole thing.
One day he might. Thanks, Mike.
You might. But if people give you more money, more people subscribe, I might give Hugh something. That is Jen, though. You've got your own Patreon. You don't need my money. But yeah.
Yeah, you can have my time for free. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Okay. All right, well, have a nice week, everybody. Monday episode. So you've got a whole week ahead of you. Feel free to subscribe, come in, tell us what you want us to talk about. If there's anything we're missing, tell us we're not beds. Give us insights, all that shit. Have a nice day. Have a nice day, Hugh. Have a nice week.
Thank you. I recommend the subscription, genuinely. Well worth doing. The WhatsApp group and the WhatsApp community alone is, you know, it's good to cop. It's so refreshing when you end up in a communication medium where topics are getting discussed, opposing opinions, no one's throwing the tellies out of the pram, and you're fucking learning stuff.
Yeah,
you can't do that if people throw the tellies out of the pram and won't engage in conversation. So highly recommend just on that alone. Just not.
I tell you what I did think about as well, just before we cut away, pricing wise. So, I wonder if you could. I mean, this is me speaking out loud. So, you're listening to an admin conversation that should probably not be in the podcast, but I'm interested to hear people's opinions. As the more people subscribe, the cost of subscribing goes down. So, when you hit every like milestone of numbers, we take, you know, 50p quid off the subscription. So eventually the subscription is virtually nothing, but there's lots of people subscribed. So there's an incentive for people to pass the message.
Is that a built-in system, is it?
No, it's not. It's a Gaz system that's just been pulled out of Gaz's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
So that might be an idea. That's probably a good idea. I should. Let me know if you think that's a good idea. If you're an autist who's good with numbers, tell me why I'm wrong. There you go. Let's get Carol here. Get your mate fucking Vorderman. Ask Carol Vorderman whether that's a good idea.
My mate.
Yeah.
My mate Vorderman. I don't.
You are one person away from being Carol Vorderman's friend.
You're making some spurious connections here.
you're what's left, you are one individual away from having a conversation and therefore becoming friends, stroke boyfriend, girlfriend.
I'll ask my mate Trump as well, then. I'll ask my mate Trump as well.
Imagine if we got Trump on here.
Right.
It'd be amazing. it'd be amazing. Fucking. Anyway, right, we're off. We're going. Maximum waffle at the end of this episode.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.